At approximately 10 minutes before 2, on a crisp October afternoon, I settle onto a bench in the private garden behind my Aunt Tansy's apartment building on the Upper East Side to await my first gentleman caller. Not my first ever. I'm not in the running for NYC's oldest virgin, but my first since moving back to the city. It's been a year, but Aunt Tansy's apartment still doesn't feel like mine. I haven't done much socializing outside the staff of the charitable trust I've run since Aunt T's death, and I haven't even considered making time to date. Dating ranks in my priorities somewhere behind finalizing my will and getting my cholesterol checked, among things I plan on forgetting about until I'm at least 50 or begin experiencing unexplained chest pains. But this isn't a date. This is a business meeting. So there's absolutely no reason to be nervous, especially on a gorgeous day like this one. The sun is shining through the brightly colored leaves, transforming the canopy overhead into a ceiling of stained glass. The smell of fall is sharp in the air, and I'm bundled into the softest sweater in existence. The tag says it's made of alpaca fleece, but it feels like it was knitted from the underbelly fur of angel kittens. It's heavenly against my skin, as heavenly as the salted caramel latte in my hand and the happy buzz of caffeine coursing through my system. Afternoon coffee is a special treat, as is a day spent lounging in my pajamas until noon, followed by a lunch date with my friend Adeline. Addie, my downstairs neighbor, is the paid companion to a wealthy old ogre named Eloise, who thrives on violating labor laws and working her staff into a state of nervous exhaustion. Addie and I haven't had time for lunch, let alone coffee after, in nearly a month. I should be enjoying our gossip session and the perfect so far day, but I can't keep my mind on the conversation or my eyes off the garden entrance, hidden beneath the maple trees. In 10 minutes, a professional hockey player who may or may not have choked his ex-girlfriend half to death will be using a code I supplied to step through that wrought iron gate and into my safe place. If it's true that the bruises on Falcone's ex were faked, then Addie and I are perfectly safe. But if he's lying, I might have invited a monster in through my garden gate. "You should go upstairs before he gets here," I say, interrupting Addie in the middle of a horror story about Eloise's latest list of impossible-to-procure groceries. "Just to be safe." "Absolutely not. I'm not leaving you alone with a stranger," Addie says, pushing her glasses up her nose. They're actually my old glasses, donated because Addie refuses to use up one of her precious days off getting her eyes checked. But they look better on her. With her pale, heart-shaped face, dark eyes, and halo of brown curls, she can look a little waifish when left to her own devices. The horn-rimmed glasses with the rhinestones in the frame give her a playful edge that softens the severity of her light and dark features and wardrobe of dour librarian business casual. "And I'm not passing up the chance to see the dragon in person," she continues with a grin. "I'm a huge fan."
"Really? Since when do you watch hockey?"
"Since forever. My 5 little brothers all played growing up, and my dad is a diehard Rangers fan. He was on TV with Dancing Larry 2x.
"Dancing Larry?" I repeat, brow arching.
"Dancing Larry." Addie's eyes widen over the rim of her hot chocolate. "You know, the guy who dances at all the home games? To strike it up? To get everyone pumped after the last time out of the third period?"
My gaze slides to the gate. Still no sign of my potential client. And back to Addie's expectant face. Her lips narrow in disapproval.
"You said you did your homework, Shane. How could you have missed the scoop on Dancing Larry? He's a Rangers icon, a legend even."
My shoulders creep toward my ears. "I don't know, maybe because Larry isn't accused of strangling his ex-girlfriend?"